Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Let's just bow for another word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Father. We are your people here on this earth. We are so small compared to you, Father, but we just look up to you as birds look into their mother, little birdies look into their mother for food, Father. We just come to you and we just ask that you would feed your sheep this morning, Father. Be with me as I share a few thoughts that you've laid on my heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Title of the few thoughts I have here this morning, Decisions Determine Destiny. Every day we make decisions. What kind of decisions are we making? Some sources suggest that the average person makes an eye-popping 35,000 choices per day. Assuming that most people spend around 7 hours per day sleeping and thus blissfully choice-free, that makes roughly 2,000 decisions per hour, or one decision every 2 seconds. So I'd like to spend a little time here this morning on decisions. Decisions we make are very important. My mind went a long ways as I thought of all the decisions we make in our life, and some are small, some might not have a lot of importance, some decisions, maybe there's not really a right or a wrong, you could say. But there's a lot of decisions that we make every day that affect where we go in life. And we don't even know it. But we can slowly move by the decisions we make. Decisions made towards obeying God and living a life after Him lead to life. Decisions made towards obeying the flesh are sin and lead to death. I want to take us back this morning to the Garden of Eden, Genesis. We all know the story. The serpent, Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What a lie. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. I want to highlight these words, she took. She made a decision, and she took thereof, and she made another decision, and ate, and another decision, and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. How would that feel? Put yourself in that situation, and you hear God coming. Maybe it's very similar, I think, in our day, even though God comes in His Spirit and convicts us when we sin. But that is not a very good feeling. So even Adam made a decision to eat the forbidden fruit, the consequences are still taking course in our lives today. We live in a world of sin because of it. So because of what Eve and Adam, the decision they made, we have still living with that decision to this day, all of us. And many times, yeah, we make decisions that affect the people down the line from us, our children and grandchildren, and it's a very serious thing. So what happens after that? Cain kills his brother. Cain kills Abel, and sin is here. Some decisions are made in a split second. When we are having a conversation, sometimes we have our answer out before the question is even asked. Some decisions are made when we're buying things or clothes or shoes or food or all those things in our life that we live with every day. Some of those decisions might not be per se as hard, but we all know that there's decisions that come that are pretty tough in life. Some decisions are really hard to make. And I would encourage us to pray and take time before we make big decisions. But just pushing off those hard decisions doesn't help. In some cases, it makes it worse. Sometimes making the wrong decision, so we don't make a decision because we're afraid of making the wrong decision. But sometimes not making a decision is worse than making the wrong decision. That's not always the case, but there are those times, I think, can be. So I'd like to take us to Samuel 13:8. We'll read a little here about Saul, some of these decisions he made. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom forever, thy kingdom upon Israel forever." So I think this was one of the, I believe this was one of the first wrong decisions that Saul made. And we see his life from here on out. It seemed like it just kind of made a downward spiral. Seemed like he couldn't get it right after that. And we see that when we take things into our own hands sometimes, and I think Saul's intentions were probably good. He was trying to help, and he was trying to do what he thought was right, but he disobeyed. So then in chapter 15, verse 1, we'll read some more here. Samuel said, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen and sheep, camel and donkey's colt there. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 2,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, Go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag the king of the Amalekites alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. How sad. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilead. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Sounds so good. We're going to make a sacrifice. And here again, I think Saul's heart was probably to try to bless God and maybe even try to make up for, he thought he was going to do God a favor and make up for his past failures maybe, or to try to catch up, and he just keeps falling further behind for disobedience. And then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. When thou wast little in thine own sight. That phrase really stood out to me. If we recall, when Saul was anointed king, I believe he was hiding, and they had to go find him, and he was little in his own sight. But that changed. Staying little in our own sight and allowing God and our brothers to help us make decisions that bring us closer to God. think that's a big key and something I'm working on and trying to learn in my life and have a lot of room to grow. Eventually, God quit speaking to Saul. Let's see, I lost that verse. First Samuel 15:35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. That's what our decisions can do. And he also went and seen a witch doctor before his death and tried to bring try to get some comfort. We can make decisions ahead of time. What we are going to do when certain situations arise and come our way. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. I had to think also of the life of Daniel. There's a lot of examples we could go to, but the life of Daniel. He made a decision in his life. And he was set on that decision. No matter what came his way, he was stayed firm and steadfast in what he believed. It was the fiery furnace, and it was the lion's den, and a lot of things that came his way. And we know that story. Also the life of Joshua. Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would encourage each one of us here to make those decisions steadfast in our heart, where we stand, and when things, we don't know what all we'll face, but when those things come our way, we know where we stand, and we will not give up or bow to the pressure of this world. I also had to think of Paul. He made a decision there, or I guess he the light was pretty bright there. He didn't have maybe a lot of choice, or he did make a decision, but it was pretty. It was pretty straightforward there. It was pretty open or pretty obvious there what he should do. But before that, he was the Christian's biggest enemy. He was out after the Christians and he persecuted them. And I think he was doing what he thought was right with his whole heart. He did it with all his might. That's how I see Paul. When he became a Christian, he also served the Lord with all his heart. And we see he went from being the biggest enemy to one of the biggest supporters, biggest disciple. He did it with all his might. I would encourage us to seek wisdom from others that are older and wiser than we are when we have tough decisions to make. Be open to what they have to say. Sometimes we ask others what they think we should do, but we already decided what we're going to do. Kind of makes us feel better to ask, and then, but we still do what we wanted to or what we thought was best. I would encourage us all, including myself, to hear advice from others and take action upon it. Jesus called his disciples in Matthew 4:18-22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They made a decision once again there to follow Jesus with all their hearts. Jesus also made a decision. He could have easily escaped this earth, this sin-filled earth, and went back to heaven. But he decided to give his life for you and I. Now it's up to us to make a decision and receive what he has done for us. I'd like to take a moment to speak to the ones here that maybe haven't received Jesus as their personal Savior. I just want to encourage you that to receive the gift of eternal life. I urge you, I entreat you to make a decision today, because this decision will eventually lead to eternal death. Pushing this decision off will eventually lead to eternal death. Hebrews 3:15 says, While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Thoughts lead to purpose. Purpose leads to action. Actions form habits. Habits decide character, and character fixes our destiny. The last point I want to make here yet is Pilate also had a decision to make. What was he going to do with Jesus? Jesus was standing in Pilate's hall. It was Pilate's decision. What was he going to do with Jesus? Today it's your decision. I would encourage each one that has yet to make that decision to make that decision today. Thank you all for making the decision to be here today. God bless you. I'd like to sing 733.